You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back. I am rejoined by Tammy and Jesse. Welcome back, ladies.
Yay, thanks Hello. For having us.
So That's getting awesome. Inside the mind of a 21-year-old, this has been fun. All right, so I've talked earlier about the entitlement generation. And Jesse, you may not like hearing that, but you can at least tell us how accurate that is with your generation, because do you just see that out there with entitlement?
Yeah, I feel like I'm pretty aware of the people around me, and I tend to pick up on that a lot, where my generations, they don't want to work for what they can get. They just feel like they're entitled to it, definitely.
Right, should have some things given. Mm-hmm. And we think that some of that entitlement comes from the lies that people tell them about the real world. So let's go through our top 7 lies that young people hear about the real world. Tammy, you want to jump in on this?
Sure.
Number one?
Number one, you're amazing at everything you do.
It's funny just hearing that, isn't it?
Well, it is, but I think as parents, your intention when you say that is to try to encourage confidence in your child. But when you keep going and going and going, it kind of sends the wrong message.
So here's a real world example of where I experience this as an employer is I ask somebody that I interview, always ask, give me your top 5 strengths as a professional and as a person. Okay? And everybody can whip off 5 of them pretty quickly because we're so great. And then the follow-up question is, now give me your top 5 weaknesses. Well, somebody that's older, let's say if they're in their 35 plus, I'll say, can usually give me some weaknesses. And actually, the older they are, the more weaknesses they can give. A younger person can never give me 5, and sometimes lucky to even give 1 or 2 because they're just so great. They think they're great at everything they do.
They have the wall of Fokker. 10th and 14th place certificate.
Yep, the 9th place ribbon. Yeah, not healthy. All right, Jesse, what's number 2?
You have to be perfect. I know I struggle with this a lot.
And was that a message that I sent you or that maybe teachers sent you? Or is that just something that you, kind of owned yourself?
I got to say it's probably something that I've owned myself. I've always strived to be the best. I always had that aroma or that knowledge of being the smart kid in the class and proving that I had to be like that and not wanting to be wrong. That was the perfection that I dealt with and still deal with on a daily basis.
Well and failure, as we know, and this is the greatest teacher. Failure is. So Jesse, when you failed, how did you handle that?
Have you ever failed at anything yet?
She's crying. No,
I'm not crying.
No, she's not crying.
Long dramatic pause.
Yeah. I know I probably have failed, but it's probably been more on of being a disappointed more in myself than actually failing.
I have to remember one time. Now, Jesse, mind you, she got straight A's pretty much throughout her entire
my first ever
career. And her first B, she starts bawling. And just, I'm like, babe, it's good. It's all right. I guess I reverted to number one. You're amazing, honey.
Yeah.
It was okay. But yeah, Jess just took on that whole persona of being perfect. Yeah, definitely.
Well, and
she's always been a people pleaser.
And not experiencing failure, we're all going to have to go through it. And the longer we wait to start experiencing failure, the harder it is to be able to recover from it.
Right.
And I'll say I was in my mid-30s before I started experiencing some catastrophic failures. I'd had a lot of failures, but some catastrophic failures in my 30s with major financial collapse, divorce, all kinds of things that it took me 5 years or more to recover emotionally from it. And there is a naivete with youth where you don't know what your weaknesses are that they can be good at times.
We just had that with Morgan. She got to read at Mass And she's like fretting.
Right, this is our 8-year-old.
Right. She was wringing her hands and she goes, "Tammy, I don't know. I'm excited about reading because I got chosen to do it, but I'm scared because I have to read in front of a whole bunch of people." And so I asked her what her fear was, and she said that I'll make a mistake. And I'm like, "That's the beauty of making a mistake, is that you get to correct it if you figure it out right then and there." And she goes, "Oh, you just made it all better." It was just the sweetest moment. And she came over and gave me a lean-in hug, and, you know, that whole scene was pretty sweet to think about because it took off that pressure for her.
And she did fantastic when she did the
great.
When she did the reading, and yeah. Now that she's had that experience, it will be easier the next time she has to speak in front of a group.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe so.
In case you just joined us, you're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're talking about the 7 lies young people hear about the real world. So number 3 on the list is you have to be married before you're 30. So we know that college isn't for everyone, neither is marriage. Okay, need some proof? Just look at the divorce rate. So people that get married too young often don't have a good experience. And Jesse, I'm going to say that I really don't have any fear about you ever being divorced, actually. Mm-hmm. You are one of the few that will break the trend with that, too,
yep.
That you got married really young.
But, I sure hope so.
But you have a great guy and you guys have a great marriage.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Built on, came from a good family.
You have to just make sure that you build that relationship and make it strong so that it does last. You don't want to rush into something just because you feel pressured or feel that you have to.
Right. Definitely. That's the key word, is that I think we get into relationships, and Doug, you've said this before, to create the momentum. Help me, honey, with the quote. But when you're in a relationship for so long, you just feel like that's the next step that you have to do.
Yeah, you get on autopilot that, you know, we've been together this amount of time, so now it's the time
now
that you
do
this.
We gotta do this.
Now it's the time you move in together. Right. Now it's the time you get engaged. Now it's the time you get married. Next thing you know, like, you're several kids down the road before you realize that you're not with the right person. Right.
Yeah, it's like that's what starts the problem right there, is that
right.
You feel obligated to do something.
Do they still do letter jackets anymore?
Like Letterman jackets?
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
the girl gets the Letterman jacket for a certain
amount of
time.
I think so, at least when I was in high school. But
that was kind of a big deal for us.
It wasn't as a big deal. I think it was more the class ring thing.
The class ring.
Wearing on a necklace. That was a big thing.
Okay.
That's funny.
Okay.
All right. Let's keep moving here.
All right. Number 4. You'll succeed only if you go to the right college.
That's a scary statement, isn't it?
I'm trying to think how that actually spoke into my life. I'm not sure that that was ever really said to me.
Well, but there are so many. All you have to see for the evidence of this is how many people are overpaying for expensive colleges.
Okay, yeah.
Because they think that there's going to be some sort of major advantage
by going to that expensive college. Yeah, I could see that.
It's true.
And
yeah.
Are you going to make some connections from it? Yeah, you probably will, but dollars and cents wise.
To the IRS.
Right. Yeah, it's connections to the student loan company.
That's right, man.
Sally Mae will love you.
Mm-hmm. Best friends.
Mohila will be your best friend.
All right, so Jess, number 5.
Number 5 is you can only get a great job by just having a degree.
Boy, that one probably speaks to me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people that have a degree that never go out and get a good job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to have the right degree.
Well,
it seems like
not only the right degree, but you have to actually get out and find that job somehow.
Yeah, you have to be willing to search for it and pick the right one. And
right. So I'm because it's been a while since I've hired a college student, but Doug, you kind of have more hiring and firing and things like that going on in your life. What do you look for when you see a young kid coming up?
Well, I want to see ambition, but one of the things that is important to me is I want to see that they actually have the right personality profile for the job. So, for instance, in my career, it's a sales career. And the majority of people that are not successful in sales just simply don't have the right personality for it. They're mm-hmm. swimming upstream all the time if they're trying mm-hmm. to be successful. And, you know, real estate agents are a good example of that, is the average real estate agent closes 6 transactions per year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's half a transaction per month. That's not a living. Okay, you can't make a living at that. And it's because probably 70% of them don't have the right personality profile to be successful at it.
Got it. Yeah.
So you can make yourself do something for a short period of time, but you can't keep doing it for a long period of time.
Right.
So that's one of the things I'm looking for. And I think that there needs to be more of that with young people, is taking a personality profile to know what do your instincts tell you to do?
Mm-hmm. Well, number six, your first job defines your career. So I'm trying to think, my first job, the perfect first job. Man, I worked for a small little company that we sold the big floppy disks. That's going back in time, people.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, the 5-inchers and the 10-inchers. and then did an internship with IBM for the summer. And I just had it in my head that I did not want to work at McDonald's. Not necessarily a judgment on that, but that that's not what I wanted, because I felt like my first job needed to mean something more than flipping burgers.
Well, and that's pretty smart advice. I think where a lot of this is going too is the first job you have out of college is what I think this is probably even referring mm-hmm. to, because you know, a lot of people will think that they have to get that right first job.
Yeah, like they have to have something that's according to their degree, or right. something that they even feel like they deserve because they have the degree backing it up. But that's not necessarily true. You know, you want to be able to also work up to something that you want as well.
Right, right.
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 We can have expectations a little too high. That's mm-hmm. where that entitlement can definitely kick in. All right. Number seven on the list is, you'll be in a better financial place than your parents immediately.
Out of school, out of college, done. I have 14 acres and...
Oh, wait.
Well, I think many millennials, it's hard to say, are incredibly sheltered. And I think that they are given everything, it seems like, just easier than we did.
And I think some of it comes to not really understanding the financial side of things. Mm-hmm. So they don't understand that, well, you have bills to pay. You have a house. You might have a car payment. And then the student loans that you might have acquired.
Right, right.
And just knowing the struggle of that balancing and having a budget.
Right.
For sure.
Right. Yeah, I've sat the kids down to show them our budget. I think they'll be a little bit astounded when you start to work the numbers backwards and say, okay, this is what it takes to keep our house afloat. And then if you take – that has to be out of my net wage, that's after tax dollars. So then you divide that, you know, the before tax dollars, it could be a pretty extreme amount sometimes that it takes to run a big family.
Right,
and
definitely.
They need to realize that. So anyway, those are the seven lies that young people hear about the real world. I think it's good stuff. If you want to see these seven lies, visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com and download these. Go over them with your kids and make sure – you're not enabling them. Make sure that you're not giving them too much.
Right, that's true.
All right, so coming up, we're going to stay on the same track. We're going to be talking about the 8 financial tips for young adults. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.